Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk and No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
Ladies, how are we doing this week?
It is so hot.
Oh, is it?
I can't stand it. It's like 80 degrees, maybe even higher right now.
And yeah, we could get into the 80s, yeah.
I don't like that. The sun's down.
Yeah, that's not ideal. Do you have your little AC in?
I have started putting them in, but the thing is that, like, in my bedroom, especially, there's only one window. So when I put the AC in, that's it for cool night air, which, like, I love. So I really do try to wait.
Yeah.
It's 78 degrees in your home. It's a tough living situation.
I'm not thrilled. No, I am. I'm not thrilled right now, but I seem to be persistent.
I wonder if... Oh, shoot, I didn't. I have been... it did get warm enough because I like to sleep really, really cold, that I've just been sleeping with like an ice bottle in the bed. Like, I just have a water bottle that's frozen and I just kind of like cuddle it in the bed, and it really helps regulate temperature.
But like, kind of like an opposite Laura Ingalls Wilder like brick. Yeah.
But I think I forgot to put it back in the freezer last night, so I don't know what's gonna happen to me.
You need to have like two, and then you can like take one out, and then you've always got one there, and you can just...
I think that's gonna have to happen. So it's warm, it's summer. I went to the lake last week. That was really nice. I went a little swim in the lake.
Swimming in the lake
in Minnesota
feels good.
I'm going to the beach this weekend, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. It's not really going to be warm enough for pleasant ocean swimming, but I'll be trying it anyway.
I think it's nice when the ocean is so cold. That's what's really the best. All right. Well, not all of us. And you were on vacation, so I think you're having a really nice week, but... Lee and I were both experiencing some light agonies this week. So we are doing just a pretty light week in review for a couple things that happened on AEW TV. And then we're going to play the dating game. And that's a little treat to ourselves. So before we get started, we do have quite a few items somehow of podcast business that we wanted to relay to you guys. So first of all, in case you missed it, we did release a bonus episode this week where we watched four listener-requested matches, and you can listen to us watch them, which hopefully is fun for you guys. I hope you enjoy it when we do that. You can find that on just the normal podcast feed. And we did hear from one of you that you had sent in a match that we misplaced, and we did receive a couple of other new requests as well. So as per usual, we're going to kind of let those requests build up for a while, and then we'll come back for from the reviews round five later in the summer. So if you've put in a request, just sit tight, and at some point you'll get that content. That sound right?
Yep. Sounds exactly right. Give us a little time to get our match watching energies back up, and we'll be back at it.
I, you know, I like, I really had such a nice time. I mean, I have a nice time every time, but I was sitting on the floor when we watched this week. And I just, by the end, I really was, like, hypnotized. I was in a little wrestling coma, and I was just zenned out, and I just kept thinking, like, wow, this is fun. Wrestling is so good.
One of our friends on Twitter was like, I want to make a request, but everybody's made such good requests thus far. I don't want to be the one that blows the streak. And I was like, that is true. Like, no one has made us watch a dud yet. They've all been really great that we ended up really enjoying. It's nice to be known.
You guys, it's nice to be known and to be enriched. We have been accidentally forced to learn so much more than we otherwise would have. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, we also wanted to remind you guys that we are going to be doing a live stream this month hosted by Martin from Poison Rana Pod. So that's going to be on June 29th. It's a full day stream from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Raising money for the Maddie Cusack Foundation, which supports female football players. We are going to be on from 2 to 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's our slot. And we will post links to the stream and the donation page on our various socials. And then we'll be playing the dating game for that half hour. So please tune in and hang out with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I keep thinking, should we clarify? They're British, so it's female soccer.
Soccer. I did
also
think that today as well. And then I took the action on it. I said, well, football. Yes, it's soccer. I like, though, that never mind, I can't get into it. Okay, and then final piece of new podcast news. We are going to be appearing as guests on the podcast Gate Leapers, a fandom game show in early July. I'm not sure if we're recording on July 8th or if it's going up on July 8th. So
recording July 8th. I'm not sure what day it's going up. Yeah,
well, so you'll find out at some point. We'll weigh back in, but this is our booked and busy summer. Gate Leapers is a panel show. They have a really fun, like, big backlog of episodes about a wide variety of media properties you can go check out. We may or may not be playing games that will require us to have a basic working knowledge of stuff that's happened at AEW. And, you know what, I'll just leave it. I'll leave it to the listeners to think about how you think that's going to go. But hopefully, at the very least, it will be fun to listen to.
They've reached out to an AEW-oriented podcast for their AEW episode, and we devote our lives to this promotion. So, yeah, we know very little about anything that's ever happened to them.
We did run that by the very nice host of the podcast. We said, we would love to play some games. We may lose very, very badly. Is that okay? Is it okay if it turns out we don't know anything? And they kindly worried. Said yes.
I know. I'm kind of worried that they're going to be like, what's Orange Cassidy's birthday? And I'm going to like blurt it out instantly off the top of my head. And then they'll be like, has Orange Cassidy ever fought Jon Moxley? And I'll be like, oh, what a good question. He has fairly
times.
Recently.
Actually, yeah. Two times. I think we're going to win.
So we got that one.
We're doing a really good job.
And that's a point. That's a point on the board.
From now until we're on Gate Leapers, any points on the board on this podcast, I think go on the board on that podcast.
Oh, that's a great point.
So.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll love it if we tell them we're coming in with a score.
Yeah. I think the way it's going to function is that it's going to be like two of us on one team and then one of us and a co-host on the other team. So like whoever gets...
Man.
Why does Zoom only give animations to me? It just gave me some blues.
It gave them to me 1 week and then it stopped and it only gives them to you again.
Anyway, I think whichever one of us
be split up.
I mean, I don't know for a fact that maybe they'll get three people on the other team, but like
I'm scared.
I don't know why. I just automatically assumed that we would be on the same team, like all
me
three
too.
Of us again, like trying to cooperatively answer one question on a product that we have spent our lives studying. Like
that's
kind of
what
fair.
I still think is going to happen. I can't really process the idea. We are like the young bucks. One entity.
That's right. One person, pretty much. I think in the Nancy Drew episode, though, they had two women from a Nancy Drew podcast on, and they were on different teams.
Wow. Well,
Whoever of us is on the host team, I think, will have a vast advantage, was what I was going to say.
But that person will be more scared and lonely.
Yeah, they'll be scared and alone, obviously. They won't be comfortable.
That doesn't feel right to me,
obviously.
That doesn't feel right to me, so I think that's enough of that. You know what? We'll get you more information on that as it comes, okay? So just something to look forward to. It is my happiness check-in week, and the options that I had for a happiness check-in were a little dire. So the real happiness check-in is that I bought a scanner and I scanned all my old documents from grad school that I had been struggling to get rid of, like all my, you know, like comments from my professors and stuff that... on my thesis, that it's like, are you ever going to look at those or use those? No, but can you throw them out? No. I scanned so many papers this week while watching Gossip Girl and a new great Netflix show that's not new, that's from last year, but it's called School Spirits. Really fun. Highly recommend. And then I threw out all the papers. And the papers aren't in the... It was so many, guys. It was tubs of papers, just old stuff. And I got a a shredder, too, because there were a lot of other, like, you know, personal documents from the years that also could go. But they had to be shredded for security. So I scanned, I shredded. The papers are gone. They're not here. Wow. They're gone.
Wow.
Wow. Isn't that huge? That your happiness is, like, being a really effective office manager.
Kind of. But I felt really like it was a genuine like weight coming off my life where I thought we can let go of all that. Yeah. Now you might say you could have just thrown it out, but I couldn't. That's not the way I could get rid of it. I got rid of it by scanning it. But some stuff I didn't scan if it wasn't necessary, but much of it had to be scanned just in case.
I really enjoyed a lot of the ones that you took pictures of and were I apparently have carted along a Bug's Life written on the back of it. Envelope for years.
Well, it's actually a Bug's Life, but sex is what it said.
I was like trying to save your
you didn't.
Dignity.
I didn't write it. I didn't write it. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know why it was in my possession. I don't know why I have that paper titled "A Girl's Guide to Boys" that was written by apparently an eighth grader in 2011. It wasn't written by me. I don't know the person who wrote it. These are just ephemera that I've collected over the years. And some of those I didn't get rid of. I still have a Girl's Guide to Boys because I might need that. I might need those tips, so I hung on to that one.
Did you hang on to the sexual Bug's Life envelope? I know you're a huge Bug's Life sex pervert.
Butt sex fan, yeah. I actually did throw that out. I actually very strongly and powerfully said, you know what?
Wow.
I don't think that this Bug's Life sex joke written on the back of a USPS like piece of official mail for someone not me is something that I need to have in my life.
Okay, well, and I don't know that I entirely agree, but I guess it's decided.
I want support from my co-host. Everything that leaves my house, I want support from my co-host because I am cleaning out my closet, as Eminem would say. I am creating a blank slate in this 35th year. I'm only hanging on to what brings joy, and everything else I am letting go of.
Would you like a little round of applause from us? Would that be helpful?
Kind of, yeah. I would love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do think I earned that this week because this is about deep stuff. This isn't just, you know, a little ice cream I'm enjoying. This is about really fixing some stuff that's going on here. Okay, ladies, should we get into our little quick, it probably won't be that quick, but our little check-in on the wrestling of the week?
Yeah.
We always talk so fast. We get through what we're thinking. I have nothing more to say to you, ladies. 5 seconds, usually.
Just in and out.
It's really hard to drag it out into an hour.
Yeah,
but
it
maybe,
really is.
Maybe
yeah.
This episode.
I think we used to say about wrestling podcasts, we'd be like, how can they talk for so long? But it turns out the longer you watch, the easier it is, actually.
I think when we started this one, it was like, well, you know, we could just do like a tight 30 and, you know, call it a day. It's like, have we ever gone less than
never
hour?
Less than 55.
Honestly, no. I think it would be interesting to look up what is our shortest episode.
It's probably like our second episode, and it was probably 58 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, we'll talk for 58 minutes if we want to. We'll talk for 5 minutes if we want to. You get what you get. Strap in. This week on Collision, Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly were slated to main event against each other. Both had backstage promos prior to the match. So in Kyle's, he was approached by Roddy and Mike Bennett and Matt Taven.
Yeah.
Could that be
good job.
Possibly correct? And
honestly impressed. I don't know that I could have put the right last name with the right Mike or Matt.
I think it was just because of that funny thing that Leah showed us the other day that we won't discuss on the podcast here. Anyway, so Roddy offered his assistance because he was like, I've beaten Orange Cassidy, so I can give you some tips. And he was like, you haven't been seeming yourself since you returned. I'd love to see you kind of be the old Kyle again. And Kyle kind of brushed him off at that point. And then in OC's promo, he finally unleashed to Renee about how for the past 2 years, everyone has been desperate to tag with him. But where are all those guys now that he has no friends? And he did just get called out by Zack Sabre Jr. to fight at Forbidden Door. So he's not having a very good time. Kyle and OC fought. OC won the match. He immediately got attacked by Greg and Kyle Fletcher, different Kyle. Kyle O'Reilly was kind of headed to the back, paused on the ramp, and then did run back to help. But he, of course, also just got beaten up. Chris Statlander came out to join in the fun, and Willow ran out to save Kyle and Orange Cassidy. Initial thoughts.
I love when somebody's like, yes, I'll help you, and then instantly gets murdered and is absolutely no use whatsoever. And I do think it's really funny how that works, because Kyle ran down and got instantly murdered, and Willow ran down and everyone ran for it.
Well, they knew she was, she hadn't just had her fight, so she was coming fresh. That's true. But Kyle
also, she's been tougher than Kyle O'Reilly, too. I'd definitely be more scared of Willow coming at me than Kyle.
Okay, I like that. I think Kyle is terrifying, to be quite honest. I mean, he wouldn't even have to look like he was ready to fight if Kyle, and I love him. You know he's the love of my life, but he would just have to be kind of coming near me with one of his weird looks on his face, and I would be like, this is not a safe situation. I have got to get out of here. In terms of fighting, I can see Willow being scarier, but... what did you guys think about finally getting some insight into OC's headspace here?
It was so exciting. We had just complained about not getting his headspace, and then he decided to humiliate us by before the episode came out.
I don't feel humiliated because I think we had discussed it multiple weeks in a row. So it wasn't like we just brought it up and then he did it. It was like
he's been listening. Been calling. He finally took the feedback. Yeah, yeah.
He said, oh, I guess they really want this. So.
No, and he did a really good job. It was a really good little explanation of what's going on there. And,
And, Anne, talk about how he expanded on that in the interview you linked today.
Yeah, he did this interview with just, like, local Iowa media while he was there. And, like, hey, they should be sending him out. They do send him out a lot. But, but he did a great job. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, also, like, promoting like a wrestling show for people who haven't seen wrestling, saying it's like a Broadway show and a fashion show, you know, all this stuff where it's like, that sounds fun. I love live entertainment. which I appreciate that he like is one of the few wrestlers who cares about people who don't watch wrestling and getting them into it. But he also had some great thoughts on his character work where he said that he's been thinking about whether he is a bad friend and if, you know, Trent and Chris have some points or not. And I was like, ooh, OC, I love a little subtle character moments here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think they've made some good points and they've made some bad points because they're not in a great headspace. And that's a good place for me for characters to be is like, well, I did some stuff right and some stuff wrong. And then you have to decide, like, you know, how you're going to respond as a result of that. And that does kind of square with he's been... you know, kind of going back and forth with his presentation a little bit and just seeming, you know, he seems unsettled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because he hasn't, like, I thought maybe he would switch to, like, the darker denim and the Wayfarers and the black shirt, like, permanently and the Pixies permanently, but he does keep going back and forth, which is interesting. I haven't quite been like, is this reflecting his mood altogether? But I mean, it must be, right?
And I think he must just be in a really confused, like, point in his life. Because, like, he was talking in that interview where, like, the interviewer was like, why did you decide to do wrestling? And, I mean, he was in character, but he was just like, well, I turned on the TV and I watched someone do wrestling and I thought, hey, I could do that. And, like, he was saying, like, you know, like, now that everybody's left him, he's kind of, it doesn't seem like he quite knows what to do with himself. And it must be, and he, oh, the other good thing about that interview that he said he keeps thinking about the international belt and how, like, it haunts him and he wishes, like, he keeps thinking about what he's going to do about that. And I just feel like he's, his whole vibe was in a place where it's like, okay, well, he thought I could do that, and he did. And he became, like, a belt holder, and he got the things that he meant to, but he lost everybody. And now he's just sort of like, well, what do I do next? And that's kind of a good place for him to be in.
Yeah.
I like that. I like, you know, I want to see another little storyline. I'm hooked on storylines from my favorite boys.
I know.
So it's time for me to see another storyline.
And I was honestly kind of worried that they would drop a lot of the stuff now that, like, the breakup happened and then Trent's off with Don Callis and stuff. Like, I thought they might just kind of, like, ignore that it's happening. So I was really psyched this week that it was like, oh, no, like, Greg and Chris are still coming at him. Like, they're still following up on all this. Like, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Leah, you made a good point about Chris here. You wanna say that?
Why is Chris Trent, like, automatically in the Don Callis family, but Chris is not? Like, no one's even discussing it. Do you think Don Callis is a misogynist?
Almost certainly, yeah.
Has there ever been a woman in the Don Callis family?
I don't think so. And I don't think he's even talks to women.
No one is ever calling that out.
Well, no, like, until now, right this second.
Someone's going to be like, well, you know, she's with Stokely. She can't have two managers. Yes, I know the shoot reasons. I'm not an idiot.
Okay, but wouldn't it be funny if Greg, like, brings Chris and Stoke in and is like, okay, let's combine forces and we can be kind of like, you know, the Don Callis family with Stokely Hathaway as the assistant manager of the faction.
He's a special guest star. I love that. The Don Callis family with Stokely.
Featuring Stokely Hathaway. But then wouldn't it be so fun to get to see Don Callis and Stokely Hathaway try to combine their managerial styles and to just both clearly be like, I kind of think I should be the spokesman here. I kind of think I should be the person in charge. That would be fun. That's not nothing.
It would be fun.
Have little bickering power struggles while their wrestlers, like, are in the background, like, doing, like, throwing mustard packets.
Doing push-ups.
Like, yeah. Or, like, just being like, I guess I'll just go wrestle. Like, they give the promo themselves because Don Callis and Stokely are too busy.
Oh, my God. That would be
so funny.
So fun. Oh, I'd love that.
And I'd really like to see the moment where, like, Kyle Fletcher and Chris are looking at each other like, I kind of usually let that guy talk for me, but they do seem busy. And so then it's just kind of like, okay, well, let's work together here. We can get it done. We're strong, powerful, independent wrestlers. We can give a promo together.
Independent wrestlers. Honestly, I would kill to just watch a full feature-length movie of, like, it starts off with, like, Stokely and Don Callis moving in together with all of their children, bickering like crazy.
Cheaper by the,
like,
dozen.
Chris and Kyle Fletcher end up, like, rescuing Takeshita as, like, part, like, by the end of the movie, Takeshita's like, I'm going with them. I'm staying with them now.
Really, all I want from wrestling are, like, more forced living. Like, everyone's in a big house and it's a reality show and all the beds are in one room. And
I do think a lot of our booking ideas are like, okay, most so you take them. A house.
To begin, we're going to need to own some property.
Whether there's wrestlers in tents or there's wrestlers in one room with all the beds.
Oh, my God. Did you guys see the update today from Stingson?
Obsessed.
That Darby's teaching him to jump off roofs? That's amazing.
I really appreciated that someone had flat out said to Steve Borden, are you still living in a tent on Darby's property? And I think he's not. He may or may not be in the tent anymore, but he is learning to jump off the roof.
I'd really love it if he would give us like a daily update of whether he's still in the tent. I mean, there could even just be a website
every day
that's like
in June. Now.
Is Steve Borden still in the tent? And you go to the website and it just says yes or no.
Oh, that's,
I mean, of course I'd rather have the vlog, but, you know.
I'm trying to make him work quite a bit harder. I say, I want videos. I want you in your tent, just handheld, being like, okay,
honestly,
here's what I did today.
Put it on YouTube, monetize it. I would watch it.
Oh, he little TikTok?
So he could be a TikToker. Come on.
He could be a TikToker for sure. Steve, please. We're trying to make you money. We're trying to make you money, buddy.
It's going to jumpstart your career. They're going to want to hire you more when you've got the passionate TikTok following that you're
definitely going to have. When you're a TikTok star, of course they're going to want to hire you.
Once you're a TikToker, they're going to want to hire you.
Ever heard of a little person called Logan Paul?
Oh, no. Jesus Christ. Why can't Darby... You know what? I can't get into this. All right. Let's move on to, on Dynamite, Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Mark Briscoe, involved, don't know why, fought Takeshita, Kyle Fletcher, and Roddy in a very fun trios match. We did get a backstage interview with the whole gang plus Willow earlier in the show with Renee, and Mark Briscoe cut an absolutely deranged promo. It was probably the first time I've really felt like, wow, Mark Briscoe, you're a blast. I know that some of you are listening to that and you don't like that I said it, and I just don't know what to tell you. Mark Briscoe has not charmed me, although I respect him, but this delighted me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It also delighted Kyle, who went on one of the most elaborate face journeys we've ever seen on wrestling television. I honestly, it's like he kind of deserves the Mommy's Little Ham Award, but it's like almost more than that. It's almost something different than normal
even
hamming.
That, yeah, it wasn't that hammy. It was just like he was just genuinely delighted. I guess it was just acting, but it was delightful.
I guess it was the Face Journey Award, maybe. Something like that.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Anyway, in the match itself, Kyle Fletcher ended up pinning Mark Briscoe for the win. And there was, Greg started on the, the outside, not in the ring, the outside part. He starts beating up OC, and then Willow's music hits again, and you think she's going to come out for the save, but instead Chris drags Willow out the tunnel because she's been beating her up. So the gang's not doing good. And then I didn't catch this, which I'm sure is embarrassing for me, but as far as I can tell from this promo that Kyle posted, the Roddy and the Kingdom had been there like by the barrier during the match, and I think they had just kind of dragged him out of there and were kind of like, this isn't any of your business. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And Roddy had said something to Kyle during that promo on Collision as he was leaving. He said, just remember what you told me when you came back. I don't know what it was referring to. I will say, again, Kyle O'Reilly is the love of my life. This is my little, it's Rat Boy Summer. This is my little Rat Boy for summer, spring, winter, spring, summer, and fall. Okay?
The fact that the New York Times is reporting on Rat Boy Summer, I really think the paper of record needs to pull itself together a little bit. Like, that's for us. That's not for you. Like, Dad, stop.
Every single meme does not need to make it into the newspaper. I agree. But nevertheless, Kyle is on theme for once in his life. But when you look at the choices this man makes when he delivers promos, the way that he says things with this kind of like, it's such broad earnestness that you're like, oh, that's terrifying. You're a sociopath. You're a monster. I cannot believe that any face ever accepts his help. I cannot believe that Orange Cassidy and Mark Briscoe are like, yeah, it's totally fine for us to fight with this guy. He seems cool and well-behaved.
In that interview that he gave in Iowa, OC was like, I'm just lucky that I have good people around me like Willow and Kyle O'Reilly. And I was like, that came out of your mouth?
He's always doing things like saying, and that was the first time that Orange Cassidy and I collided. Anyway, but seriously, and it's just like, God, what is happening? I feel so unsafe.
He's a perverted sociopath. In the post Dynamite promo, in the middle, he just Lexi Nair or someone is asking him like, what happened there, and he just goes, I don't know, Lexi. Sometimes when I'm in the ring, I just start to see red or something like that. And then he's just like, well, anyway. And it's like, this is not a safe person, okay? Like, he has eaten people and he will eat again. And he knows it. It turns out that his coping mechanism has been to begin to fully embody
the cannibal.
He doesn't want to run from it anymore. He wants to lean into it.
When he first got off the ship, he was, like, traumatized. He was trying to figure it out. He was dealing with a lot of, grief and remorse. And now he's pushed through that. And now he says, wasn't that bad.
His vibe is definitely someone who is slowly beginning to yet again hunger for human flesh. So, yeah. But anyway, don't worry about that.
See you later, Lexi.
I love him. He did something on the Collision promo too, where was it when the Kingdom and Roddy came up to him and then walked away? And for some reason, the camera just stayed on him, and Kyle looked off camera with this insane, far away look, and I was like, what am I supposed to be understanding is happening with you right now?
Absolutely no idea. I mean, that's why, I just wish I knew for sure how he thinks I'm reading it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just love to know for sure if he's like, yeah, you're supposed to be a little unnerved by it, or if he's like, this is my best good guy acting, and I think I'm nailing it.
I love that you described it as, hello, fellow faces.
Well, we'll see what comes of it, I simply suppose. Chris and Willow are both entering the Owen. Any thoughts on that storyline, how they're handling the friendship fallout?
I think it's been good. They're both, very, very, very clearly having fun doing it, which really does bring extra joy. Chris is so satisfied with her bad girl self. Every time she's on stage, I just keep being like, she's so happy about what's happening right now.
Yeah, she's been doing such great, hammy, behind Stokely when he talks, doing little poses and faces and stuff. And Willow's been looking great, too. She's always been beautiful, but, the hair, the presentation, the booby shirts, you know?
The booby shirts. Yes, and she looked good.
She's been looking so good.
It must have been, it could have been last week on something, or it was on Collision. There was one of those shots with OC and Willow both standing there together, and it was a huge I am bisexual moment for me. I was just I love everything I'm seeing. I'm so happy about it.
Beautiful, beautiful people everywhere for me to look at. Yes.
Thank you to my friends on TV for letting me look at them. Do you guys think we're going to get the thingy, what's it? Greg, Chris, OC, OC, Willow, intergender match?
I want it. I want it real bad.
So if we don't get it, I'm like, what are we doing here?
Stop. I know.
What are we doing here?
Don't tease me.
I don't even care about intergender, not intergender, mixed tags that much, but I still really want this one. I just think it would be so fun.
I just think a smart booker would book it for Wembley. I think that's just the way to get that line to go up. I think it'd be good for business.
In the atmosphere of Wembley Stadium.
Electric in that atmosphere. Wow. Yeah. I think you'd see business through the roof.
Now, this line is special guys syndrome.
This is when a kid learns that a certain phrase produces a certain effect, and they're like, is that always true? And they're just experimenting with it. That's us just occasionally being like, and I think if you did that, line goes up. Definitely. Big time.
Big time.
Line shoots to the stars.
I did have a little moment in this match where I was like, what is the matter with you? Where it looked like OC was going to get pinned for a second, and I was like, OC can't get pinned. That's not his status in this match. And then he did it, and then someone else, like Kyle Fletcher, pinned somebody.
Mark
and I was
Briscoe.
Like, yeah, but I was like, but OC didn't get to do the pin? Like, that's wrong. And I was like a little shirty about it. And then I was like, you are a podcaster. Like, and that is your special guy. Like, what's the matter with you? Since when do you care?
I just think it makes business sense for the demo for OC to be doing the pinning.
I think it makes more, it just,
what
everyone in the building.
The numbers is that when he pins, the numbers are bigger than ever. You wouldn't believe how big these numbers get when he does the pin.
And the crowd response, I mean, it's way bigger than any response
it's
any other
so
pin gets.
It's so loud. It doesn't, it
you can
freaks
just feel
out
it.
The crowd, you know, the thing that tells you how loud it is, it can't even tell you because of the noise.
Yeah.
So big.
It's incredible.
The truth of the matter is that if AEW was serious about getting a TV deal, they'd be doing the things that would make the executives happy. Like having OC pin people.
Yeah. OC pinning Mark Briscoe and mixed tag at Wembley. Yeah.
You know, I think if they wanted it to be a really good deal, like kind of like a billion plus kind of deal, I think that before he does the pin, he would get thrown around a lot, maybe by a much bigger man who would make him look paradoxically even smaller.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an idea.
And maybe his face would go really red and
so
he'd look
red.
Really dazed. And
yeah, and the camera would linger there sometimes. Mm-hmm. It would linger on his face when it seems like he may be pinned. Yeah. And he has nowhere to go. He's trapped on the mat, panting. And the camera lingers there, and the executives who are watching say, wow, we have got to get these people money.
David Zaslav just pulls out his wallet and starts throwing dollar bills everywhere.
There's no limit to what I'll pay.
It's like, what, one bill, Orange Cassidy? Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. And I think you may have heard it here last as well. He's just our special guy. We really liked seeing him. So I hope that was clear to you. Shall we move on to our second and last section?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Swerve opened Dynamite this week with a promo about Will Ospreay promoting their upcoming Forbidden Door match. So he said, and I quote, "I told you 10 years ago that once you develop that killer instinct, there's not going to be anybody in this industry who can stop you. And that's been true." And then he cited some matches that we've seen Will Ospreay in where he did have that killer instinct, like when he Tiger Driver 91, 93, 91, Kenny. And, you know, he hurt him if he did win. And he said, but recently we haven't seen that. And he has not been taking things seriously. And he said he does respect Ospreay for being a fighting champ. Unlike the EVPs who haven't defended their belts since winning them. I like that he brought this up because
that is a face thing to say. Call them out.
Make them work.
That's another thing the executives would be throwing money at if we saw Young Bucks tag matches and if the shirts came off.
Yes.
I heard that David Zaslav every single week is texting Tony Khan, like, I wish I could see a Young Bucks match. Got anything for me? And that Tony, because he's such a useless booker, just says, oh, I forgot. We don't have one for you. And that's why they haven't signed the deal.
Yeah. David Zaslav's like, if I could see some nips from the Young Bucks,
absolutely,
that would really sweeten the deal. And Tony's I don't know. They like those vests. I can't do anything.
Tony said,
no
I don't
deal.
Think it's appropriate for me to ask for them to show titty for a deal.
Tony, who doesn't get respect in the backstage, is unwilling to make the hard calls, taking those vests away.
So true, so true.
Now I'm just envisioning Tony at Gorilla. The Young Bucks are about to go out, and he's like, boys, come here, and starts trying to take the vests off.
Jesus Christ. Okay. The EVPs did take umbrage to this, though, and they came out to the ring, and they said they will be... We had a little back and forth, which... comedy back and forth, which we'll discuss. Ultimately, they said they are going to be competing in Blood and Guts on July 24th, and they offered Swerve a spot on their team, and Swerve said no. Actually, I didn't hear him say no, but I assume that was kind of the gist of it, was that he didn't really want to do that. And so fisticuffs...
He said a soft no. He's like, he's probably busy that day, but he'll check the schedule. And
I think he also was like, I can't be on your team because I'm a businessman, which is like not a real answer, but like, it functioned as one.
I had left a little bit with the impression of like, well, I doubt he will be on their team, but it feels like the door could be open. many Manolo were saying that's not the case, and I will admit that due to my agonies, I wasn't super tuned in this week. So anyway, some fisticuffs broke out. The Acclaimed came out to make the save. You guys want to talk about the fashion in this little segment?
Oh my god.
Some great fashion stuff going on here.
I can't believe that Swerve made fun of Matt's beautiful pearls.
I know. And Matt looked genuinely like, what? Like, he was kind of looking around like, is that true?
Didn't he say no one wears pearls anymore?
Yes, he did.
She was like, of course this 5 years ago, this would have been a great look. Swerve was looking great, though. I mean, he had those sunglasses. He had the fur. He looked like a sexy steampunk warlord, kind of.
Yeah, I felt a little, well, I don't know how to describe what I felt, what I thought. He looks kind of steampunky, complimentary. That's not a statement that usually comes to mind, but I liked it. I'll bravely say I thought he was really attractive and beautiful. And, the Young Bucks did offer him some of their sneakers, and Swerve dismissively said, I'm not a size 9, and he threw the sneakers into the crowd. Now, Anne, let's go to you for a special report. What size shoe are you?
I'm actually a size 10 in men's, not to brag. I do have man-sized feet because I'm quite tall. So me and my brother can share shoes. Yeah. So no, they weren't my size. But no. I will say the Young Bucks did deprive me of shoes because I was like, haha, who would buy those? That's silly. And then I was like, I wonder if they're still available in my size. And they weren't. And then the next day, my friend Jeff was like, haha, should I buy the Young Bucks shoes? And I was like, oh, I looked at them yesterday, but they were sold out in my size. And then he went and looked, and he was like, oh, they're not sold out in my size. And I was like, oh, really? Because, like, all the sizes were sold out when I looked, except, like, the 8s and 8s and a half, which, again, my man-sized feet would not fit into. So I was like, oh, and I went to the site, and my size was available all of a sudden. And I was like, hell yeah. And so me and Chuck both bought the Young Bucks sneakers, which is not very in character for me. And I was like, this is so stupid as I did it. But I was like, I'm still like kind of psyched about it. And then 2 days later, Champ Sports emails me and says they're out of stock and they won't know when they're coming back. So they're refunding me. So
that's
like,
so sick.
Why that did you sick. Sell them to me? And meanwhile, that same day, Jeff received his pair in the mail.
That's
oh
sick.
No. When, that is incredibly what size sick. Had he gotten?
I didn't ask him what size he'd gotten. If he got a size 10, though, I would.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is freak out. If Jeff got a size 10, I'm like, oh, Anne needs them, Jeff. She's on vacation, and she needs a little treat, so.
Yeah. So the Young Bucks are on my list now. And meanwhile, they've just got tons of shoes they can just throw to Swerve and throw into the crowd.
All right. Fine. Tony, to make this up to Anne, you've got to take those vests away.
Yeah, at least take the vest away.
It's the vest or the
whole.
Sneakers. You're either going to have to send her the sneakers or take their vests. That's just fair. This is parenting 101, okay?
Exactly.
Tip for tat, baby.
I was going to wear my best friend's sweatsuit that I also bought in a fit of insanity, and I was going to wear them with my Young Bucks sneakers, and I was going to look so cool. Yeah. And now I can't. And I literally have been really disappointed this whole, like, for the last couple weeks.
You heard it here first, Tony. It's a classic... if you want my gravy, pepper my ragu, spice it up for mama, she'll get hot for you. Okay? So the sneakers go to Anne or the vests come off the bodies. And and I'm almost...
We don't ask for much.
It's hard to know what to root for, honestly, especially because if the vests come off, David Zaslav is going to be so happy. So.
Yeah, so that's a win-win, Tony. You both make things right with me, and you get your billion-dollar deal. So what are you hesitating about?
I think I'm not sure even what we've advocated for, but I think he should do both the things that we want. Let's get the Billy. Let's get the Billy, okay? And let's get him those sneakers. We can do this if we try, if we work together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Leah, do you want to explain what happened with the Seconds and the Young Bucks getting Seconds banned?
So Christopher Daniels was like, I forget why he brought this up, but he was like, somebody's used to not having Seconds. Was it Okada? He was like, he's used to not having Seconds, but the Young Bucks aren't. And so I'm going to ban Seconds from the Eliminator match. But I was like, okay, that's kind of crazy though, actually, because the Young Bucks also were in New Japan for a long time. And in AEW, they very rarely like had helpful Seconds. It's not like, Kenny or Hangman famously
refused to come out. Yeah.
Refused to come out on their tag matches. And even when Hangman was friends with them, he didn't. They had Brandon, who is useless.
He's not helpful.
Busy filming it.
Well, Brandon actually was really useful this week. He came out and let himself get beaten up by four different men for almost no reason. For pretty much no reason. Where you're like, Brandon, why are you here and why are you suffering these indignities? This match has nothing to do with you. He'll do anything for the Young
Bucks. What he's there for.
What he's there for. But it was just funny to me that Christopher Daniels, like, announced it as if the Young Bucks were Bang Bang Gang and, like, consistently, like, cheated by, like, on the apron kind of crap. And I'm like, I think this is accusing them of crimes they haven't actually committed. And I actually would be happy if they were committing, because that would mean they were wrestling.
I know. They do all their own cheating.
They do
all their own cheating. Do they cheat? Yes, but they do it themselves.
They do it themselves. Yeah. They do not farm it out.
No. Mm-mm. Farm to table cheating, Anne, do you want to discuss this question of whether or not you'll be attending Blood and Guts?
Yeah, Blood and Guts is in Nashville, which is like a 3-hour drive, but I'm going to be off work that week, so I could conceivably go. I could make a little trip of it.
Who do you think is going to end up, let's put our little noggins together. Who do we think is even going to be in this match?
I mean,
we have four elite members.
Four if Hangman hypothetically was going to be the fifth, then that would put some weight on the scales.
It would certainly put a heavy foot on the scale, I would think. If you could see in person Hangman Adam Page's incomparable body, curls, angry facial expressions, I think that would heavily
Yeah. And honestly, like, the Acclaimed might be on Swerve's side, and I would be kind of into that. Like, I haven't thrown the Acclaimed out with the trash.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Yeah, everyone's so mad.
People keep being like, the Acclaimed is the worst thing to happen. Dude, the Acclaimed need help. Like, they need help now. They got stuck in a bad deal. Yes, I agree that Daddy Ass needs to take a backseat. But the Acclaimed, we all loved the Acclaimed like 10 minutes ago.
We would shout it for
them.
Yeah. Half the crowd was wearing Scissor Me Daddy shirts and big foam fingers. And I still, Max Caster's been behaving badly, but I still like the Acclaimed.
Can I quote another song here?
Yeah.
You've got to get yourself together, because you're stuck in a moment and you can't get out of it. Okay? We have to get them out of it.
Classic
YouTube. We have to take them out of that bad moment that they're stuck in and reinvigorate them. Bring life back to them.
And if anyone's going to do that, it's the fucking Elite. So give them a chance to do rehab. Give them a chance. People are like screaming down the house like the Acclaimed they're just going to ruin everything. I'm like, they're not going to be in control of the match. You think a match with the Elite in it, they're going to let the Acclaimed lay it out? You think Daddy's Ass is going to be the star of this match? Shut up.
Yeah. And I don't think that Billy Gunn should be getting into those two big sexy cages.
I agree, but yeah.
I just don't feel that stressed about it because I actually can think of a lot of other wrestlers that I'm less interested in seeing in this match than the Acclaimed, especially if the Acclaimed are being guided by the heavy hands of our illustrious EVPs.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. And honestly,
like if they're doing hand on the till.
Yeah, and if they're doing another Team AEW, like Swerve and the Acclaimed are honestly like great choice. Like those are very like AEW made wrestlers.
We literally just went through an entire cycle of people screaming their faces off about how Team AEW shouldn't be guys from WWE.
Yeah,
the Acclaimed were born on Dark.
Dark. And both the Acclaimed and Swerve are ones where they had to change the booking direction because they got so organically over with the crowds. Yeah, those are and AEW honestly, guys.
I think it's actually healing something if they were on the same team because Swerve was real mad about people saying that he should have like called the audible to lose to the Acclaimed. So I think it's probably a good thing. Let's heal there. Heal
it. Yeah, I know.
Let's heal.
It's actually nice looking back on that because it's like, oh yeah, the Acclaimed totally cut short the Swerve in Our Glory tag team ring. I really like Swerve in Our Glory, but the Acclaimed at that moment, I was like, yeah, I want him, but like. Swerve's certainly done fine for himself. Like, you can't keep that guy down. Takes advantage of every opportunity.
So, if you assume that there's going to be five on the Elite side, and you say that three are going to be the Acclaimed and Swerve, you're allowed to use Daddy Ass for four if you think he's going to be in there, but who's your number five? I want Darby. I want Darby to come back. I want Darby.
Yeah, but Darby
Swerve.
Apparently is out indefinitely.
I know.
I missed that on commentary, and I didn't like when I heard it today as I was watching that video of him jumping off a roof.
Meanwhile,
like,
he's jumping off roofs, yeah.
I don't know about that. And yeah, I did, so. Yeah, whatever. We can't get into the Everest stuff again, so let's set that aside. Let's just set that aside.
So we have to give ourselves timeouts on certain topics. Like, Everest is a no-go. Absolutely not.
Now,
who are our other... I was just trying to think, like, who would be good Team AEW members.
Not it's
like
we have any other men. Right?
It's got to be someone... Who
Eddie's
can be the partner?
Broken. OC like, would be good, but he's busy.
Someone who can be opposite Jungle Boy, because like if you figure the Acclaimed and the Bucks,
you're trying to get MJF in there, Leah.
you're trying
to crowbar MJF in there.
That's not nothing.
It's not nothing, but he needs to work a little harder to get back in.
Oh, I don't want the Acclaimed to work together.
Yeah, I don't want the Acclaimed and MJF near each other anytime soon because that would. That would have been good.
Well, I can't think. Oh, I have the list of the men. I've got the men.
Yeah,
here.
I'm like scrolling through and trying to. I mean, Lucha Brothers.
Yeah, the Lucha Brothers as four and five would be really good.
Yeah.
Oh, Sting. Now it would be, and I don't want this to happen, but it would be high comedy for. Cash to be in the match on his own after Dax was like, I'll be out, and unfortunately that means Cash and I will both be out, and it's like, you actually love doing singles matches every chance you get. Cash isn't allowed to do those, or what's the deal there, buddy?
Interesting.
And we can't even get into that video that didn't need to happen.
No.
Well, I don't, we're gonna have to set this aside for now because I can't look at these men. I can't look at these men without crying right now. I miss so many of them. Two quick little topics. First of all, Christopher Daniels has been playing this on-screen role, filling in for Tony Khan. He is the most vice principal ever to vice principal. He is standing between classes, standing by the office, calling out dress code violations as you pass. He's being like, come over here, I'm writing you dress code violation. I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with the energy.
It's so funny. It's so funny. Every time he comes out, it's like incredible comedy that I'm like, oh, everybody's been talking so much shit about the concept of authority figures. And instead we've got Mr. Balding.
You know, because sometimes it's like, they do listen to what he says, but I'm just like, wow, you have to do what Christopher Daniels says. That doesn't seem right. That's not sitting right with me.
When he was like yelling at them to stop fighting, it really was like, wow, I've seen this before. Like this exact energy. It's incredible.
Amazing. We also have this. We probably don't even really have to get into this either. Just that Dustin Rhodes cut that promo on Collision about, I think, like, taking your job seriously. Like, it was a crazy promo where you were just like, A, why is Dustin Rhodes here? He's talking for a long time. Like, it's are we having a problem getting people on the show? Did someone not show up to work? So we had to get Dustin Rhodes out there to do a long promo in which he was basically like, Jack Perry is a Nepo baby. And it's
really...
Sir,
you're a Nepo baby.
I think you're the OG Nepo baby.
I genuinely was like, was there a cancellation last minute and Dustin Rhodes was dead ass asleep backstage? I curled up on a speaker and somebody woke him up and was like, oh my God, we need help. You have to run out there. And that's the promo that he gave, like, trying to figure it out. Because if so, that was a nice job. But if that was intended, no.
Very unclear why it happened. And then he did fight JB on Dynamite, and JB did win. And it was his first singles match that he's had since he returned to us, and it was against Dustin Rhodes. And it was over Dustin Rhodes being mad that he has acted like a spoiled Nepo baby. So I kind of don't know about any of that, you know?
Yeah, I feel like every once in a while you, like, don't see Dustin Rhodes for 6 months, and then all of a sudden you see him a bunch. And it's like, why are we suddenly in, like, a mini Dustin Rhodes push? Like, I mean, I have no beef with him, but it's confusing.
I have no beef, but I really can only... Can we say that it's, like, every time he come on screen, it is just... What is his name? Michigan J. Frog. And it's all I can see now. And it's like he'll be walking across the ring to do violence. And I'm like, he's dancing. And he's got his top hat on. He's got his little cane. And he's having a good time.
Imagine how charming it would be if that's how he came out there.
I wish he did.
I would love that. Yeah. Let's get that man a top hat. Okay. And finally, Ospreay and Rey Fénix main evented Dynamite. They flew all over the place. They're just doing some really crazy moves with their insane bodies. Ospreay, on his way out, passed his signed contract off to Swerve, who was sitting by barrier watching the match. Towards the end of the match, he ended up locking eyes with Swerve. And he did a little "Whose House, My House" call out, and he hit the Swerve stomp on Fénix. And he won. I think he won with that, but he'd already, like, kind of won with something else. I can't be corrected about it, and I don't want to hear it. You know, something happened. He did win the match. And Swerve came into the ring for a little bit of post-match chit-chat. Ospreay held out his hand with just the energy of the happiest little dog of all time. He said, I had such a fun match, and I'd love to shake your hand right now.
Hey, Swerve, I won! Guess what? Hi, buddy!
Did you see how cool it looked? It was a really good match. Swerve did not want to shake his hand. Instead, he kind of got a little kissing pose going, and he told Ospreay that Ospreay acts like this is a game, that he's still an immature little child, and that he can't hold both belts. That's got to be right. Both worlds? No. Whatever. He can't have two belts because he's not strong enough. Ospreay snatched Swerve's belt, and he did put both belts on his shoulders, which was kind of like a little... sweet toddler move, like, just like, I don't know, how does it look? And Swerve circled back to take his belt back and to say in Ospreay's ear, you're lucky we're still friends, because if anybody else were to do this, I'd put them in the grave. Now, one thing, let me just say this, ladies, in recent weeks, maybe even months, sometimes I've said, like, wow, I wish that I were saying that I want to see people kiss a little more. I haven't been seeing as many people with the kind of electric chemistry that makes me want them to kiss as I used to. I wanted that kissing.
Yeah.
I wanted it.
I wanted it real bad.
I liked the energy I saw. I liked the chemistry I saw. I said in my head, we could do some kissing here.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I think we were saying we've gotten some new listeners the past few months, and it's been probably our lowest kissing talk ever. So, boys, it's back.
Kissing is back on the menu, boys.
Yeah, this interaction was just, like, incredible. I thought it really showed both their personalities really well, like, in a, like, oh, I can tell where they're both at. I thought... what Will Ospreay did non-verbally was so good to just show his character. Like, I've been sort of, like, impressed I don't know, thinking about, like, oh, Okada, like, for a while in AEW was barely saying anything, but, like, I got a really strong sense of his personality because of all the nonverbal work he was doing, and Ospreay with that, like, happy dog energy coming in and then being like, he don't want to shake my hand. Like, why? And being kind of bewildered and sad, and then getting kind of angry. You know, it was just like he went through a whole journey and it was really clear, and I just felt like, oh, I understand where this person is without him saying anything.
I agree. And I thought it worked really well.
And it was really good because I feel like a lot of podcasters have been really against the idea of, well, no, I shouldn't say that. That they, I've heard multiple people say that they don't think that Swerve could stand up next to Ospreay, that Ospreay would swallow him. But it is, like, I thought that that interaction was like, Swerve was a wolf. And Ospreay was a dog. You know what I mean? Like, I thought Swerve did an absolute masterful job of being like, you're having fun. I'm here to win. Like, you are an unserious child. And it was good. It was good.
Yeah, I just really thought the dynamic worked really, really well. And that both of them felt really, like, coherent and well-realized as characters who are very different in that in that whole interaction. Like, it was just like, yes, this is who you are, and it makes perfect sense. And it was, like, it was interesting for them to have this, for Swerve to be leaning on this thing of, like, you're not a killer, and Ospreay having the like you said, the dog energy of, like, oh, but I'm a winner. I love to win. And to have the kind of, like, clear distinction between how they're thinking about, like, the outcome of these matches and, like, how weighty the outcomes are to them, with, like, Swerve clearly having a lot more, like, no, I've done stuff to get here. Like, I can't be having you take this away from me. I just thought it worked so well. And, like, I hadn't been sure how it was gonna go when they started, like, facing off a little more directly. It just was really electric. I felt so, like, I don't know, lit up as we finished the show. It made me really excited for their match.
And it felt like a dynamic I haven't really seen before, and it felt really specific to the two characters that are there, which is all I ever want from these interactions. I want someone to be, like, a specific person who, like, runs into another person, and then you get, like, whatever organically happens between those two outlooks and those two personalities. And it was great. It really exceeded my expectations.
And immediately I was like, this is an energy that could sustain many matches. So, you could have him, like, you could have Ospreay lose at Forbidden Door and then come back and fight him again at, like, Full Gear. You know what I mean? Like, it would be fine.
You don't think that maybe it would be electric in the atmosphere of Wembley Stadium? I'm only kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just love my new line from Manolo so much. I agree. Because there's a lot of space for both of those characters to shift and change and have, like, and be in different places.
Based on what's happening with them. And I kind of like that Swerve's kind of just back to being, like, killer badass and not, like, there's a while where he was kind of dabbling in, like, I'm going to be good now, but it didn't seem very natural, and I think it's better to just go this direction, probably.
I think, and especially because, like, he isn't being a bad boy. He's just being, like, intense, cool and not giving a shit about what other people think about it, which works really, really well. And feels like you can organically shift that over a longer period of time. Like, you can have him more organically have moments where it's like, no, I want to do the right thing in, like, a good guy way here. Like, you can play with that later down the line, but he did feel just, like, really rooted in the character, really confident. Like, it was great. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, what a high note to end our
our. And maybe they'll kiss. Maybe they'll press their bodies together and kiss a little.
And I think they'll certainly press their bodies. Yeah. How can they have a match at Forbidden Door and not press their bodies together?
At Forbidden Door, they couldn't.
The door is forbidden. So that kind of sets the scene.
Forbidden.
And now
doors,
we're channeling Tony Storm here. Okay, shall we play our little game?
Yeah.
Does she have a little game? We are going to play just a classic little traditional dating game. So real ones know. We have a little random generator that will give us two wrestler names. And we'll just discuss what we think they would do on a date together. And I think we did decide, because it's June, it's getting hot, it's getting steamy, it's getting sunny. This is summer dating, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is, they're going out on a date on a hot July night. Or it could be during the day, depending on where we send them.
It's church carnivals, it's weekends on the lake, it's beach days. Summer, oh baby. Dairy Queen. Sitting outside the Dairy Queen.
Oh, my God.
Little dilly bar.
Ugh. Okay. You guys ready? Oh, my God. Okay. I honestly don't know what's funniest here. So I do. I don't remember what the last game we played that we had three names for was. But I just was like, oh, I'll just leave it and just pick the two funniest names. But I do have here Dante Martin, Kyle O'Reilly, and Tony Khan. So I'm kind of at a loss as to who to pick. And I, as a result, have now had to make one that's just two, so this doesn't happen again. Who is going on the date in that trio?
Cut Tony Khan, I think.
I don't want to cut him entirely. He is matchmaking. Tony Khan.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Tony Khan is running a matchmaker service.
Oh, my God.
He puts together Kyle
Dante
and Dante. And he says, I think you two would get along great. Head out into the summer night.
And Kyle, don't eat him. I want him back here. He's on contract.
Kyle literally had to sign something saying he will not eat his dates.
Can I say that I think that it is irresponsible of a matchmaker to set someone up on a date who might eat his date? I think there are some
He doesn't
real
discriminate, Allie.
I think he should maybe discriminate a little.
Now, are you quoting from the Google review that Dante writes on Tony Khan's matchmaking service?
I actually can't imagine Dante writing the Google review. I can imagine him saying to his friends, like, I don't know, it just kind of seemed like maybe wrong. Like, maybe you shouldn't do that. And his friends being like, dude, we gotta write a Google review. We have to warm
That's
people
Anthony
up.
Bowen.
And
Doug,
I don't know.
And Dante's like, I don't want to ruin his business. I just think I would have been nicer to be on a date with someone who didn't want to eat me. But I mean,
what is the name of his little crew?
The lads.
The lads.
Anthony Bowens, him, Hook, and
Darius. Is it also Darius?
Darius. Yeah.
Imagine them huddled together and Dante's like, I don't know, he just like, he was trying to like nibble on my shoulder, and like Anthony Bowens is like, we can't do this, we should contact the Better Business Bureau.
Did you guys see that Glenn Powell story that went viral where he like repeated an urban legend and he thought it was true, but it's insane. It's like, yeah, Kyle gave Dante a back rub, but it was with lotion designed to break down human flesh for consumption.
He said, for some reason, he said, oh, Dante, let me tenderize you. That's a weird thing to say.
I didn't want to be tenderized, but
poor Dante's so stressed. Like, everyone's like, why didn't you fucking leave then, dude? And he's just like, I don't know, I thought maybe it was nice. I thought he meant, like, be tender.
I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
He's
going
to have to get coached
by
all the lads on saying, like, I'm uncomfortable in this situation. Time for me to go. This isn't a good situation for me. I do think, unfortunately, in this scenario, Kyle is going to take him to a barbecue joint. He is going to take him somewhere where they're cooking the full pigs.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's going to want to kind of like, I'm thinking kind of like a barbecue shack type setup.
Yeah.
Where Kyle's interested in kind of skulking around and checking out, you know, how they're cooking.
And he's like, he's asking the staff two detailed questions and like, Dante's like, so where did you go to high school? And Kyle's like fully turned around in the chair to be like, now what do you feed them before? But what do you feed the pigs before they?
Oh God. Is there a 30 Rock joke where Jack Donaghy goes to a restaurant where you get to pick your veal, or you pick the live cow? Yes. Kyle wants to go there.
Oh,
he wants
my God. Kyle so love right. that.
Don't you think it's sick that, like, I'll never get to watch a special crossover episode where Kyle O'Reilly is on Hannibal? Because I don't think he would like Hannibal's cooking. to be quite honest. No. I think that he would be like, human meat shouldn't be dressed up this way. It doesn't need to be. It has a flavor all its own. It need not be disguised.
Just salt. Why do you need a sauce? It's delicious as it is.
Do you think that he's like a little bit of a Ron Swanson, but only when it comes to human
meat? That feels so right. That feels right. Wow. Okay, well,
What a romantic date we've just come up with.
I'm just glad that Dante gets out of there alive. Okay. All right. Oh, nope. Oh, you didn't copy. Okay, I don't like that. Okay. Oh, wow, interesting. We have Orange Cassidy and Tony Nese. And I've actually been thinking about Tony Nese quite a bit recently because somebody said to us that Tony Nese is their special guy. And I think, Anne, it was you who said, you were like, wow, and that really just made me think, like, everyone is someone's special guy. And so I've been thinking of it quite fondly ever since, where I'm just like, wow, and Tony Nese is loved. That's so beautiful.
And honestly, like, he's pretty funny and, you know, does well for his place in the card, I think. Not that we see him very much, but, you know.
We just saw him this week, which I felt like it had been an age. And I thought, wow, someone out there is so happy right now because they're seeing Tony Nese. That's lovely. That's nice. I don't think I understand his personality enough to kind of know what he and OC are going to get up to together.
I know. He's just like a big muscle guy. It's like, do they just like go to the gym and then get like a green juice afterwards?
But I think Tony Nese is incredibly cocky, but in a very like social, like, wanting to like interact way. So I feel like he's like, I'm gonna give you personal training, and OC's like, I know how to be in a gym, and Tony Nese is like, no, I'm gonna show you this really cool thing that I do with, like, I don't know enough about lifting. I wish we could get one of our
phone a friend.
But like, one of our gym he's bros. Like over explaining something fairly normal, and he's also doing it in a too loud voice so that everybody in the gym is like looking at them, and like OC's like, I gotta get out of here.
You think he skulks out? I think he might just pretend to, he might do his classic pretend to fall asleep thing.
Yeah,
he just sits down on a machine and conks out.
Do you think it's a problem that both of our dates have nothing to do with summer?
Oh. Well, okay, no, let's roll it back a little. Okay,
maybe he takes OC to the lake so that he can take his shirt off ostentatiously.
Oh, he'll want to take it off, yeah.
And he thinks OC will be impressed. Because
OC's going to get really badly sunburned. Like, that man clearly cannot just be out unattended in the sun.
Unattended.
Look at him.
Tony Nese is going to have to rub sunscreen all over his back, and is he going to be responsible about that? Did Tony Khan properly prep Tony Nese for the sunscreen situation?
You know what I would love to see? I'd love to see OC in one of those hats. I don't know what they are called. I guess like sun hats. It's like, we always wore them like growing up. My mom's Australian, so like I only remember them for Australia, but where they have like the flap that goes all the way around the neck. I'd love to see an OC in one of those.
See, when you started talking, I immediately just started thinking about the kind of sun hats you put on babies where it's like a white bonnet and it has a strap under the chin that buttons.
Oh, that'd be so sweet.
Maybe Tony Nese will bring that bonnet for him.
He's wearing one of those like rash guard shirts too that you also put on toddlers for the sun.
We would take it. If we took OC to the lake, we would take really good care of him.
Oh my God.
Really good care of him.
Really good
care. He'd be our little baby. Don't worry about that, OC. We'd dress you up like a little baby to go to the beach.
And you would have like a little dot of like...
Yeah, a little dot of sunscreen that didn't get fully rubbed in.
Yeah.
And that's because we were rubbing it in and he said, Mom, stop!
And then every 2 hours we have to reapply it and he's so
mad. And we call him over. We're like, OC, come back to the towels.
Yeah, you've got to come out of the water. We got to put that sunscreen on. I'd be like, Mom!
Oh, Mom, I'm just sitting
in the same place for like an hour and a half, not even clearly doing anything, just like moving sand from one side of his body to the other. That's all he's done.
He digged one big hole and then he just sits in the bottom of it.
He sits in the bottom. It's nice and cool down there. Tony Nese isn't really in this. It's kind of a weird parental date. We went to the beach on our own and we saw Tony Nese and OC on a date, and OC wasn't wearing a hat. He wasn't wearing a shirt. He didn't have any sunblock on.
We said,
excuse me, sir, we are CPS. Can we step in? Tony, you can go. You can go. We don't like what happened here. You can leave. And then we took care of OC. And he had a really nice time.
Do you like how both our dates, like, one was cannibalism and the other was just, like, real PSA on the dangers of sunburn? I think we're doing great at this. We love kissing. Honestly,
it's raising my spirits, so can't complain. Oh, this one is fun. Swerve Strickland and Colton Gunn.
Oh, my God. That is fun.
I think they could have, a really good time.
They'd have a great date, yeah.
But I think, like, Swerve is, like, he's turned on the charisma big time because Colton is a mark. Like, Swerve needs to get access to something, and so he is, like, he is flirting up a storm. Like, Colton has no idea what to do with it.
Seduce and destroy, kind of? Yeah.
So you're like, this third date that could be sexual? No. It's a bank heist. Colton's a bank manager, and Swerve is flirting. It's going to be pretty
sexual. Like, let's be clear about that. This sounds pretty sexual.
Actually, yeah, I'm pretty into it.
Just not honestly, earnestly... I don't think Swerve believes that it's going anywhere. It's going to be a night of Colton Gunn's life.
Colton Gunn is going to be shocked and betrayed when he finds it out, and Swerve will have to convince him. No, it started as a mark thing just to get the key to the vault.
Yeah, you started as a target, but then I fell in love.
What is the op that you think Swerve is on? What is Swerve trying? Is he a spy, or is he just trying to get, like, a bag of chips from catering?
I was kind of picturing, like, an here? Ocean's 11 casino heist situation.
Colton Gunn is, like, the kind of the Julia Roberts here.
Yeah. He's dating the casino owner. He does a lot of winking, and he's pretty charismatic about it, and yeah.
Colton and Austin Gunn could be the brothers in Ocean's 11. Like, those roles are actually right for them.
That's true. Yeah, just fighting.
But, Leah, you didn't have a specific crime in mind that you think is...
When you first said, what is he trying to get access to? For some reason, my brain was like, Billy Gunn.
Everyone's after their dad, their sexy dad.
This is a crazy story that you are now concocting. So you think that... Swerve has turned the charm up to 15 on Colton Gunn in order to get access to Billy Gunn. Now, is that for sexual reasons or something else he wants from Billy? Is he trying to convince Billy to be in Blood and Guts? I don't think Billy would need that much convincing. But that could
He's trying to convince Billy not to be in Blood and Guts. That's going to take everything he's got.
But then he gets distracted by Colton. It's a perfect story. I think we all agree.
It's a perfect story. Yeah.
And everyone's going to love the ending where Billy Gunn does end up in Blood and Guts. I think everyone's going to be really happy that that's the ending we got to.
But Swerve and Colton
this is also,
right
this
off
is a
in
summer
the sunset.
Story because Blood and Guts takes place in the summer.
It's in July, yeah.
In July, yeah. Okay. I think maybe next. We can't do another Tony Nese one. That's crazy.
We're not very good at romance. Tony Nese has now come up this game
three more times. Okay.
You know, when we had Marty on and Rich on, they tell us these rich stories of people discovering each other and really learning about themselves and having a real human connection. We're like, I think there was cannibalism, probably. probably trying to seduce his dad.
I cannot stop thinking about how effective Swerve would be at a seduce and destroy operation.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
I think, like, Colton
It'd
Gunn...
It'd be too easy.
He would literally, in the middle of the date, he'd just be, like, ducking into the bathroom to dump cold water on himself. Yeah. Like, he's so fevered. Yeah. He's freaking out.
I think Swerve is the kind of guy that, like, someone could say to you, in 2 hours, Swerve is going to come over here and flirt with you to get access to Billy Gunn.
And you'd know you have to guard coming. Billy with your life.
Swerve He's will only do flirting to out of ulterior motives.
But you know it was coming, and it still somehow work on you, and you'd be like, damn it.
Yeah. I think he was flirting for real, though, guys. Like, no, he wasn't. It was all about Billy Gunn.
He was talking to me. It wasn't about Billy Gunn anymore.
Let me just run something by you. We've got Swerve over here. We've got Billy Gunn over here. And between them, Colton, the forbidden door.
His forbidden door is wide open.
Okay. You want to do one more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's an interesting one. It is Jay White and Sammy Guevara.
We only cost matchmaking services.
Now, I clicked again just to see what's cooking. And your other option, you could choose between these two, is Jay White and Dax Harwood.
Wow.
who is gonna have the most fantastic date of all time? Which of those pairs?
I choose Sammy.
Yeah.
This is not really an episode where we are really inventing a new long-term couple.
No. I don't think I... Now, here's another one. Chris Jericho and Dax Harwood. Wow, now we are cooking.
Can you imagine Dax Harwood cutting a promo where he's like, I love wrestling, and I love America, and I love my husband, but he beats Chris Jericho?
And Chris Jericho's like, the learning tree has gained another trunk this time.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They're like the entwined trunks.
The entwined trees, yeah.
That's so beautiful.
With all their little branches. Wow. Cash Wheeler can be another branch with Redwood and Bad Apple.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I wouldn't want to see it. Let's hone in on Jay White. Let's take Jay White. This is a special exercise at the end of the game, okay? We take Jay White in isolation. Mm-hmm. He has a little crush on someone, and he's planning a date. What do you think he comes up with first for a summer fun date?
I'm just thinking knife pervert shit, but I don't think that would be a great date. Well, I mean, okay. For someone it might be.
The three of us once went on a vacation to Georgia.
I really thought you were going to say a date. I guess I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. Well, we went on a date and we were walking around Atlanta and we rented Segways. Do you guys remember that? I think Jay White is renting a Segway with his date.
Yeah. Wow. Do you think that he plans that ahead, or is that I believe we had gone to a kind of like a fun indoor market and we maybe had purchased some popsicles. There were popsicles around. I don't know if we got
them. No, we definitely had popsicles and we had bought a spell because we were going to later.
Yes, we, That's right. We had bought a pretty good spell that I think actually worked really well. And the Segways just happened to be there. It was fortuitous. And therefore, we segued or scootered or something, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Do you think that, or does Jay White know? Is he like, we're going to go on a Segway tour of the city?
A tour. I mean, it'd be more fun to like go to a market, have a popsicle, and then do a little Segwaying afterwards. But a Segway tour, I don't know. It feels a little restrictive for Jay White.
Yeah, I think he's trying to ride the Segway places he's not supposed to. Like, it gets intense really fast.
Here's what I think. This isn't really about what they are going to do, but I think that JY asks the person he's interested in out on a date, pretty clearly a date, the other person thinks, and then he does show up with juice and both guns. He does bring juice and the guns, and is just acting like this is totally normal.
Yeah, and the date's like, I thought this was a date, but I guess it's just a group hang. But then Jay keeps trying to like hold their hand and
absolutely,
stuff, and they're
yes.
like, I mean, it's pretty confusing.
And I now,
I'm gonna have group hang from
I know
Crazy
so do
Ex-Girlfriend
I, yeah.
in my head for
it's a group hang.
I have to say, I think in this scenario, I kind of think it is Sammy Guevara. And I think that Sammy is actually making quite a few faces. Like, he's not really controlling his face. Like, what is happening here?
He thought they were going to have sex on a belt.
I think Jay White
instead
squeezes his butt.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Sammy doesn't know what to make of it. Juice is standing right there. Like, literally right there.
Then Juice also squeezes his butt. And then Jay squeezes Juice's butt. And Juice squeezes Jay's butt.
Every time that Sammy thinks, like, okay, now it's clearly a date. Like, he squeezed my butt. It's like, now we're all butt squeezing? This is just like a, okay. It turns out this was actually just like a psychological torture experiment.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Well, I think that it's probably some of our best work.
Yeah, a lot of romantic summer dates, I think. Yeah.
Summer loving, happy blessed. Okay. Was there anything you really wanted to do or talk about or just anything at all that I withheld from you? I didn't let you do or talk about.
I just want to emphasize again, Tony, you've got to get those vests off. That's the key. That's the key to business.
To be honest, Tony, I don't think that it has to be. I don't think it has to be anything underhanded. Honestly, I would say get Renee in there. Get everybody in a room. Let's just get to the bottom of why the vests are on.
Oh my God!
Let's get to the bottom of why the vests are on, and let's get to the bottom of why I don't see the Young Bucks wrestle on my TV every week. Not that anybody has to wrestle if they don't want to, but on the other hand, don't they?
Don't I employed as a wrestler. Shouldn't you wrestle once in a while?
I need to see them in action.
I would love it if Renee became our avatar in some ways, where like the close-up series is just like we give her a target and we give her a problem that we want to work on, and then she just goes like she treats it exactly like she treated Dustin's like injury, where she's just like, well, do you think like you can change your moveset so that like you don't have to wear a vest?
Are you feeling self-conscious about your body? Like, yeah, I think we can. You have a beautiful body.
Are the vests critical to these moves?
You have a beautiful body.
Renee says, don't be shy. Get the shirts off. And let's, we can just have an honest conversation about what's going on here. Oh, my God. Renee, please.
Please, Renee.
Renee. Get those shirts off and get me my sneakers too.
Yeah, we need sneakers. We need bare chests and we need big fun. And we're gonna have to get it soon, or I'll die. All right, I think that's quite enough of that. I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
Baby, it's Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network. I had a really wonderful time listening to One Nation Radio this week because I think what I'm going to say is so crazy, but they got to the point where they were talking about the Ospreay Fenix match, which I had zero feelings about, even though, like, of course, they're both very good wrestlers. And James is like, this is my match. This is my special match, like my special guy.
Yeah.
It's all I've ever wanted. I can't wait to see it. His enthusiasm is ramping up and ramping up. And I looked inside myself and was like, oh my God, am I so excited to see this match now? Am I losing it to see this match? And I had a great time. And the whole time I was watching it, I kept thinking, I really hope James is having fun. I hope it's everything he dreamed of. I hope that he's so happy right now.
It's going to be so fun to listen on Monday and hear his reportage.
Yeah.
I know. I'm very excited for it. So, yeah, very, very good episode. Lots of other great episodes that you can check out as well of different podcasts. You can also come join us on the Social Suplex Network Discord if you just want to chitter chatter about, this kind of date stuff, pretty much. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Please, for the love of God, stay frosty. And as always, I'm absolutely begging you to come back next week. Week to week to week, the end of this has gone.
I am pleading with you on hands and knees.